better start up your Wednesday right here on VNAX. A little sunshine in your early morning, at least out to the west. East is still cloudy, and boy, those storms yesterday were rough, flooding through the Texas Gulf Coast and into Louisiana. I-10, parts of I-10 underwater overnight. Be careful out there. Don Miller will be along with your traffics and low water crossing issues that you will deal with this morning as you are up and out on this, the 19th of May, as the rainy period continues. We've got a lot going on. We're going to talk to Jim Turner coming up in our coach's corner. Jim is now the offensive line coach for Jake Spavital at Texas State, but way back in the 80s, he was a walk-on fullback for Mr. Bucky Godbolt. Jack McNeil, Bucky Godbolt, and the Boston College Eagles.
Yeah, went on to have a Heisman Trophy winner with Doug Flutie.
And yeah, man.
About four or five NFL running backs, and played right here in the great state of Texas in the Cotton Bowl against University of Houston. That was Doug Flutie's last year. As a matter of fact, it was a Heisman Trophy year playing in the Cotton Bowl.
And we go, because I think Jim Turner's last year was 87, so I think he was a little younger than Flutie, but he was there early with Flutie. But we'll talk to Jim and walk down memory lane with the new O-line coach at Texas State.
It's been a long time since I've spoke with him.
Well, I'm excited to hear you guys catch up, and I think the audience will be too. We'll also get your PGA Championship picks coming up. Got to make those. We've got to get a NASCAR preview as NASCAR comes to Central Texas. It is the first ever road race out at Circuit of the Americas. So a lot going on in addition to our conversations. But we have a BNE fact of the day to pay off. Had another no-hitter last night. And can we start calling these the no-name no-hitters? Like, I don't know, I've been a baseball fan my whole life. I don't remember this many no-nos
by no-nos.
Spencer Turnbull, who's a nondescript right-hander for the Detroit Tigers, career record of 9-25.
Wow.
He threw the no-no last night on the heels of Wade Miley throwing a no-hitter last week. So the question was, when was the last time there were five no-hitters in Major League Baseball before June? And it's happened one other time. And somebody on the text line, Calvin, said 1969. This guy said 1959. No. Got to go way back beyond that. The last time it happened was 1917.
When they were playing like stick ball?
Yeah, like 100 years ago. That's how rare what's happening is in Major League Baseball. That's crazy. But five already. Also, I'll say this from the fact of the day category. You see, we'll mention it again, but the Celtics beat the Wizards last night in the play-in game, so they're the 7 seed. Jason Tatum had 50 points. He's now one shy of matching Larry Bird for the most 50-point games in Celtics history.
What's he have? Does he have four or five?
He's already got three now. That's his third, Jason Tatum. Bird has four. Now, I know it's a different game than when Bird was playing, but that's lofty. It's lofty air you're playing in when you're talking about Larry Bird.
He really is a good player.
He is good. The Celtics, lost his runaway Jaylen Brown to the injury, but Tatum still getting it done. Hey, let's get to your headlines, your trending topics, then we'll dive into that Coach's Corner on this Wednesday morning. UBO Business Services brings it to you, and we'll start with the Texas football news of the morning. That's right. Official word yesterday that the Longhorns' first road game of 2021 at Arkansas on September the 11th has been set by ESPN and ABC as a 6 o'clock kick. It will air on ESPN television. Of course, you'll hear it right here on the Horn. So if you're planning to head to Arkansas for the game, make the road trip, you now know what your start time will be. Razorbacks coming off a 3-7 season under first-year head coach Sam Pittman a year ago. News from Texas basketball, word this morning that Texas big man Jericho Sims has officially made himself eligible for the 2021 NBA draft, but he's not hiring an agent, which would make him eligible to return to the roster for new head coach Chris Beard after going through the process. Sims has until 4 p.m. on July 19th to withdraw his name in return, so we'll keep an eye on that. No game last night for the second-ranked Texas baseball team. Supposed to play Rice, but of course the severe storms of yesterday afternoon and evening shut that series down. They will not replay that game, so the next time the Longhorns hit the field will be Thursday night, tomorrow night against West Virginia. It's their final conference series of the regular season. Big 12 Conference regular season championship on the line there. Texas just a game back of TCU with 3 to play. Major League Baseball last night, Yankees beat the Rangers in Arlington 7-4. Rougned Odor back in Arlington as a Yankee now, went 2-for-5, had a couple of hits there, struck out twice. Big series in the AL West opened last night. Second-place Astros dropped the first game of their series with the first-place Oakland A's 6-5. Astros now trail by a game and a half. Their six-game winning streak is over. Ramon Laureano at two home runs, and then he ended the game with a walk-off sack fly in the ninth inning to break that 5-5 tie and give them the 6-5 victory. Round Rock won again. How about that 12-game season opening homestand? They went 9-3, beat Sugar Land last night to get the victory there, 8-5. They're now off on a 12-game road trip that will take them all the way into early June. And as we mentioned from baseball last night, another no-hitter. Detroit right-hander Spencer Turnbull no-hit the Seattle Mariners, striking out 9, walking just 2 in a 5-0 victory. And in the NBA, your scoreboard, Celtics beat the Wizards behind Jason Tatum's 50. They are the 7th seed now. They'll face Brooklyn in the first round of the NBA's playoffs beginning this weekend. The Wizards, who lost that game, will turn around and face Charlotte tomorrow night. Indiana. Pacers beat Charlotte 144-117. The winner of that matchup tomorrow night will be the 8th seed in the East.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, so there you go. By the way, Buck, see who's leading Major League Baseball in home runs now?
Yeah.
Hit a 440-foot bomb last night. Shohei Ohtani.
Half pitcher, half fielder.
Dude, I just hope this guy continues to stay healthy because now Mike Trout is out till the All-Star break, likely with a calf injury, but this guy, I think all baseball would be eager to see him be in the starting lineup for the All-Star game, but also be the starting pitcher. Wouldn't that be incredible?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I mean, he's playing that.
Absolutely, man.
I mean, that is so unbelievable what he is doing, but his 14th home run last night for the Angels, and he's, of course, a starting pitcher as well, and a really, really good one at that in Major League Baseball. All right, so we'll continue with the baseball. We'll get to the other top stories today. Let's dive into our Coach's Corner at 10 after 7. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations. And as we said and as promised, he is the new offensive line coach at Texas State University, but at one point was a walk-on fullback, played for Bucky Godbolt at Boston College. He joins us on the Vaqueros Hotline. He is Coach Jim Turner. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, man. How you doing? Good to see you, Mike.
Jimmy, how are you, my friend?
How are you, Coach?
I'm doing fantastic.
Great to hear your voice, man. Great to hear your voice.
Yeah, I am so blessed. I am so blessed, my friend, and so are you. And for you to go on and do what you're doing and become a coach, man, I said to these guys, I said, out of all the players that I've ever coached, the one most likely never to coach anybody would be you. And here it is. You're a fantastic coach, and you have children.
Can you imagine that? I actually found somebody to mate with, Buck. You know what I'm saying?
I know, man. That's the scariest. That's the scariest of all. I love you so much, man. I'm going to tell you, you are one of the foundations of me becoming a coach and getting into the business at a pretty early age. 26 years old, I became assistant coach at Boston College. And to have guys like you around in the Strahans and the Fluties and, you know, Kenny Bells and Stratfords and, you know, all of you guys from walk-ons to just players, Jimmy, it was fantastic. And the people of Austin, Texas, you know, I've been here for 30 years now, and they know only what I want them to know. You know all about me. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Aaron, there's a story. I would imagine this radio show would have to last about 7 years straight for me to tell his story. But he was a heck of a coach. I loved playing for him. What a history. I mean, what a great recruiter. And when you sat I remember the meeting rooms back then, Buck, when you look at the difference between A&M and University of Texas today, and Texas State and the facilities that these teams have.
Yeah.
I think we were in a janitor's closet.
Yes.
There was like 9 players. When I say janitor's closet, Aaron, I'm telling you, it was about 10 feet by 12 feet. We all crammed in there. You had to sit on the floor. There was no seat with your name on it, no locker with a TV above it. It was incredible.
And around the hallway, around the hallway was the racquetball courts.
That's exactly right.
It was
the difference today, right? When you look at everything, the difference today, like I watched the clip of you, Buck, when you caught the catch against UT back in 77, I think it was,
and
you're in a 3-point stance as an ex receiver. Both receivers were in 3-point stances
with a neck roll.
It's unbelievable.
With a neck roll on you, Jimmy. I know you remember the days of the Captain Ned, and when I gathered players, players meant a lot to me. And at the end of the football season, at the end of the spring, I would gather guys, and we would take a bunch of buses to go down and go fishing, or we would then play, and when we'd come back, we'd play in a softball tournament. All the different classes had their own softball teams. I never saw so many kegs of beer in my life. I mean, it was kegs upon kegs, and we'd go fishing out, and we'd go deep sea. We'd go way out there, and so many guys got sick, and there's guys throwing up, and never to do this again. I remember going back after one of those events and going back to my wife. I had two broken fingers after going over to the dorms with the guys and wrestling guys and fighting them to the ground, and came back home with two broken pinky fingers after a round with you guys. I was very close. I was like one of the knuckleheads myself at 26 at that time.
By the time it was over, Aaron, by the time the trip was over, I mean, you had broken bones. You had people missing. We couldn't find them for 2 weeks. I mean, you had people with hooks in their ears. And, I mean, you know, like football is one thing, right? But if you want to see how tough a guy really is, take him out fishing. Watch some of these fishing shows. Take him out. We went fishing for 3 hours, and our lives changed forever. Never mind do it for a living.
Now I got to ask you, was it the time with Greg Santos there when you were there?
Yes.
His dad was, you know, owned a lobster company allegedly in Boston on the harbor there. Yep. Yeah, Jimmy was a part of that story of Greg Santos and his dad.
I'll tell you, Aaron, when you talk about like the Ned's Classic and all those things that Bucky did, Bucky was ahead of his time, and I'm not stroking him. I'm just telling the truth. He was ahead of his time in terms of being a recruiter. And, I mean, I know when he came to UT recruit, I mean, he had Ricky Williams, Priest Holmes, Sean Mitchell, all, you know, those three guys in the same backs. You had those three backs on your campus at the same time. And when you think, you know, like how we recruited at Boston College, which is Troy Stratford, Kenny Bell, Steve Strahan, we had great running backs ahead of our time. And you know, that's something that he had. He had the ability to do that and had an influence on me as a recruiter in college. I mean, I've had a lot of success recruiting in the college ranks at Texas A&M, now at Texas State. And it's a big part of you being a good coach or not a good coach. It's the number one thing you do as a college football coach is the players you bring into the facility. And I knew Bucky was a great recruiter back then. Obviously, when he went to UT, which was after his Boston College stint, and bringing in the players he did there, like the players that I just said, I know all three of those players had in one game had 100 yards rushing apiece. And I know Ricky described Bucky as his best friend. It was that type of relationship. And Bucky had a way of doing that with all the players that he came across. And I knew Bucky was a great recruiter when he wanted nothing to do with me, Aaron. He looked at my tape. He wanted absolutely nothing to do with me.
Come on, man.
And I said, and I was like, this guy's as smart as they come.
Well, I'll tell you, you're talking about a headbanger and a guy that would stick his face in anything back in the day. And Jimmy, you had the passion for this game. And not only you had the passion at that time, you kept the passion for this game. You wanted to be around young players, you know, from Texas A&M to the Miami Dolphins. And you just have never stopped, and now at Texas State, and now to come back because you want to be close to your family. You could go off and coach in the pros. We know that there are people that love to have you coach the offensive line. And you have to be a special guy to come from being a walk-on to not only a college coach but be a professional coach. But you wanted to be back with your family. You wanted to be, you know, we joke about family, but sort of like I was with you guys, you want to be near your family. How important is that for you?
Well, and you know that's a big part of coaching, right? Because you spend so much time with the players, and I think a lot of the gripe when it's all said and done, and when your career is over, you know, a lot of families, a lot of children in coaches' families would say, "I'm really glad that you spent so much time with your players. I wish you'd spent some time with me."
Yep.
And I've never made that mistake. My family comes first, and that's just hard. It's a hard line to draw. Luckily, I work for a great guy, Jake Spavital, right now, which is a big part of where I'm at. You just nailed it right there as far as my career is concerned. I'm not concerned with the level necessarily. I love the level I'm at. I love the school I'm at. I love Texas State. But it's more about the whole picture. It's more about a little bit of balance, right? So And because in the end, when it's all said and done, your family's first. Your family's first. Now, when you do take a job, okay, when you take your job at Texas State or wherever you may coach or wherever you may work, okay, that's obviously a huge commitment, which you are, you know, you're obviously setting up for that as well. And that's a big part of who you are and what you do. But, you know, I'm there for my son. I got my son Michael. He's a hockey player and he's a football player. And he's a real good one, a great kid. And then, of course, my wife, Trish. So, and, you know, and the big thing for me, Buck, was having the chance to come down. I know you did the same thing. You come down here to the great state of Texas, and it's addictive. You know, you come down. I love my roots in Boston and all that. Okay, that'll always be a part of me. But there's something about, we could have gone anywhere we wanted, okay, from my stint in Cincinnati. I spent 7 years at Texas A&M. I had my stint in Cincinnati, and then I asked my son, where do you want to go to high school, Mike? And he said, I said, we put you through a lot in this business. He said, I'd love to go back to Texas, Dad. Now, I may be a Bostonian. I parked my car at Harvard Yard and all that crap, all right? But my son, okay, he's in the Wranglers. He wears a cowboy boots. He wears a cowboy hat. He's a Texan. So he was born basically down here, and he spent most of his life down here. And it's addictive down here, man. I love it down here. There's nothing about the state that I don't like. Uh-huh. From the weather to the people to, I mean, I remember in 2008 when we first got down here, you know, everybody said you got to go to a rodeo. So I'm like, all right, I'll go to a rodeo. Being a closed-minded Bostonian, I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll go. But of course, I didn't think it was going to be much. And I would say within 10 minutes of hitting my first rodeo, the bull bucked the cowboy and off the horse. I mean, the horse, right? He got bucked off. He smashed his face into the side of the fence. And all of a sudden, there was blood on my lap and my wife's lap. And me and my son high-fived each other. We said, this is unbelievable. We loved it.
That is great.
Oh, Jim
Turner in our coach's corner. Keep going, Jim.
Oh, you're something.
Hey, listen, just said from Braintree, Mass, to now addicted to Texas, which is really cool. Talk about Jake Spavital and the program. I know he sold a vision to you on where he wants to take that program in the Sun Belt Conference, but we've seen the Sun Belt grow, and football in this state is king. I mean, a lot of excitement there in San Marcos.
A lot of excitement, and I'll tell you when you come in here, right? Like, so when I came on the interview, I got hired on February 9th, and when I came on the interview, I was coming from the Cincinnati Bengals. So I'm coming from an NFL situation, and when I walked in, it was a breath of fresh air when I went to the interview. And I went down there, okay, there's nothing phony about this head coach. He's a good man. He's a good human being. He loves these players. And I was a lieutenant in the Marine Corps, and the number one rule in the Marine Corps when you're a leader was take care of your men. And he does a great job at that. You know, he goes in there every day. Like, of course, when you take care of your men, if you're an 18 to 22-year-old kid, what's the number one thing you're thinking about? You're thinking about food. He feeds these guys hand over foot. The facilities, he's done a great job at trying to update the facilities. The stadium is beautiful. And I've been up and down 35 a million times recruiting for A&M. And I pulled into the stadium here for the interview, and I was like, oh, my God. I mean, it was absolutely gorgeous. The football facility in the end zone, and just the way that he treats that team and the way that he's built that team. I know the record doesn't reflect in the first 2 years, but you know this today, Buck, okay? In today's football, it's not like back when we were in college and Notre Dame and USC. You know, you had a couple of vintage teams at the top. And that was it. Everybody else was scrapping, okay, because they're the ones that had the facilities. Well, today, the kids don't care about just the single names. The kids who go to all of these schools now, it's pretty even playing field. So you're going to be able to get these players. It's a pretty even playing field. And he's done a great job. I mean, it's hard to flip a roster. So, I mean, when you take over a team that's not a good football team, when you take it over, it's hard. It's not an easy job. And you got to dig in, and he's flipped this roster. And so when I went in for my interview in early February, I really was looking at the roster. I wanted to see, can we win right here, right now? And even though the record didn't reflect, I watched the game against Boston College last year, Buck.
Oh, that was a screw job right there. They had that. Texas State had that, yes.
And nothing against Boston College, but Texas State beat them. They beat them on both sides of the ball. And so when I watched that game, because Boston College is a good football team. And so when I watched that game, I was like, we got a good football team here. And I said, like, I look at the running backs we have on the roster. I look at our offensive line. We have a solid offensive line. I'm very excited about what they're going to do this year. And, our defensive staff, they've turned over that. We have a D-line. We got a transfer from Texas Tech. And there's a few others. Our D-line is a good D-line. We played against them all spring. And our linebackers can run. I'm very confident that we're going to be in position to win football games this year. And just like I said, when I was down on the interview, I was really looking at the team. I asked him if I could stay a couple more days. I just wanted to see, I wanted to see what the team was about.
What are you doing, coaching for free? You just going there to coach and coach for free or something? What the hell is wrong? What's up with you?
At this point, Buck, if I continue on my trend, I will be coaching for free. But
you're something, man.
Hey.
He's done a great.
I know, Jimmy. We're getting up against it a little bit. I just want to tell you, I love you, man. I miss you. One of the most important things about being with you guys when I started coaching was making sure everybody had a degree and getting on everybody's ass about it. I never stopped. And one of the last stories before we go is that I think you may have been in the same with a kid named Tyrone Taylor in that little closet that we had. And I remember telling him that okay, if you don't go to class, I'm going to call your dad. And he said you wouldn't do that. I remember you guys going to a meeting one day, and the first person that was in that little closet was his dad sitting in a seat. Yep. And we all walked in there, and there's the dad, and there's the kid who came into the meeting. And he said, what's this about? I said, I told you, if you don't go to class, I'm calling your dad. His dad missed work, and his dad wore his ass out because he had to miss work.
It is incredible.
But I promised that I'd get him degrees.
Aaron, I'll tell you right now, and that story right there drove me as a coach, because I remember that story. And so I asked the kids for one thing, and I tell my son this: do what you said, do what you committed to do. And so, and part of what they commit to do when they come into the facility is they committed to be a student, and they committed to be a college football player and help us win games. Do those two things. I've sat in many meetings with when my freshmen come in. And, so you have to go, like, in recruiting, you have to sit at their house and you eat the dinner with them, and usually it's a great meal. But they think it's all about them at the time, So it's all about them, And then when they finally get to the facility, I love this line, too. I use this every year. So the freshmen will come in, we're running plays, whatever. So I'm watching tape with them, and I torture them on tape. I'm obviously very critical of their performance. And I'll say, when I have the freshmen, I'm like, and by the way, your mother's chicken stunk. Right? And so, right?
Oh, man.
And so, the veterans go bananas. They absolutely love, right? But
God, Jimmy.
Yes, obviously. And most of the chicken dinners I've ever had at people's homes were tremendous, right? So it's one of my favorite parts of recruiting.
Oh, my God.
But
Jimmy.
Oh, man.
Love you.
Buck, you're the best. I love you too, man. You're awesome. And I'm happy for you.
I'm happy for you.
Likewise. We're glad you're in town, and we'll have to catch up in person and certainly do this more often. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you, man.
Stay
appreciate
safe,
it.
Buddy. Bye.
All right. Well, there you go. That's our reunited with Jim Turner, and we'll have to do that again because that was fun.
Oh, my goodness.
Jim Turner, now at Texas State, obviously. You heard his reasons why. He was a walk-on fullback for Bucky back in the day from Braintree, Mass. At 5'9", came in, made it, and turned into a captain of the team. And
he didn't lose that accent, did he?
No, he did not lose his accent, but he loves Texas, so that's good.
Wow.
What do you say? Wasn't born in Texas, but I got here as soon as I could. And after spending 8 years at Texas A&M, he decided this is where he wanted to be and where his son wanted to be and his family. And so now he's at Texas State coaching with Jake Spavitol. All right, we'll come back. We will continue the Wednesday conversation. That was lively. We'll get everybody going on a Wednesday morning from the former fullback and Marine and now football coach. Coming back, plus hot or not for the end of the hour, it's B&E with you.
And use promo code TANK for a 25-cent per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code TANK.
I mean, really, when you really sit and think about it, isn't it really, really nice?
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Appreciate Coach Jim Turner joining us, Bucky's former fullback, and that was fun. He was a character, to say the least. He told me he would be, and Jake Spavitol, when I talked to him about getting Coach on, he told me he would be, and he could carry the show if we wanted him to.
Oh, that guy's...
what a treat.
Like I said, 30 years of here, you only know what I want you to know about me. That guy right there knows when I first grew up in the business of coaching and what I had to do to get guys' attention, because I didn't know any other way. I was a young coach. I didn't have, you know, my old man coached, he coached middle school and stuff, but I didn't have very many mentors except for my old coach. I went to Dartmouth and it was a graduate assistant for 1 year, and they got offered a job back at Boston College. So I didn't know much about coach. I just knew I wanted to be a coach. And so when I got back, when I first came to Boston College, I was like mean, man. I was mean and loving at the same time. But my thing that I always thought is, my job is to make sure that you get an education, because that's the first thing I tell a parent when I go into a home. I said, I'll do everything in my power to make sure that your son, he's going to be a different dude when he comes back to you, but I want him to have a degree. And I chase guys down, and in all the years of coaching, I have one guy that didn't get his degree for a while. I chased that guy down for 2 years to get his go back to Boston College and get a college degree. And he did. He was one of my fullbacks too. But Jimmy knew what it had to be like. And this room that we're in, Aaron, this is the room that's slightly bigger than the nine guys that I had in a room with like real to real film. Like when you turn the reel to reel on and cut the lights off, man, you cut that light on real quick, and there'd be two guys asleep, man. I would get up and cut the light, let the reel go, and slam the lights on. There'd be two dudes in the back, like, because you could hear them through all the stuff. And, man, the racquetballs, you could hear the racquetball hitting the wall because the racquetball courts were right to the side. But you had to coach, man. You had to do things that were unorthodox, but you couldn't make a promise that you didn't keep. And when I told that kid, I'm going to talk to your dad about this, I can't get you to go to class, but I know your dad can, because I promised him, and you were there at the house, and maybe you weren't paying attention, but I got his attention when his dad was sitting in one of those little middle school chairs with his, you know, right there, and everybody was coming into the meeting room. And before Tyrone came into the meeting room, all the other players came in, and they were going, oh, sugar, that's Tyrone's dad.
He's here.
Bucky said he was going to do it. He actually did this to the kid. He brought his parents. His dad had to miss his job that day he was there. His dad slammed his fist so hard on that desk, it made every player in there almost piss themselves. I mean, he slammed it like a father who had just lost a son. He slammed his hand on that desk. I jumped. Everybody jumped. And he yelled out, Tyrone. And, dude, I swear, I may have not had another day I missed a class for the rest of the year. It only worked for a while. You know what I'm saying?
That's been an impression, though.
Scared the piss out of everybody, including me.
That is phenomenal. Well, you made an impression, and Jim Turner made a good impression. A lot of great comments on the text line. Appreciate Coach Turner and his candor. And, you know, he's like straight out of like one of the, like a Ben Affleck movie or something, for crying out loud. But
man, this is a dude that at Texas A&M, they had their women come
He got in trouble.
Oh, that dude didn't care. Did you think that guy cared? That dude was, he's old school.
He
should have cared, but he didn't care. What was he doing?
Oh, they had some pretty
anatomy. They were doing anatomy. They were uniforms or some weird stuff.
Well, remember, they were doing the women's clinic.
Yes,
and they thought it'd be funny to have some fun with the women.
Oh, of course they did. And, of course he did.
He got in some pretty hot water on that deal.
Yes, man,
back
that guy's
in the day
crazy.
At Texas A&M, for sure. But he is an authentic, genuine
Bostonian
who's now addicted to Texas, which is a good thing. We're glad he's with us, and that was fun. We'll do it again, because we're going to get him. Well, it's clear to me now after talking with him and then having him on the show, he'll tell your stories. He'll tell you. We'll learn about some of the things that went on at BC back in the day. But we also know what's going on today. We'll get into the other conversations of the morning. Isaiah Collier leads us through the hot or not topics before the top of this hour as we get you rolling. And it's a fun Wednesday. But, yeah, somebody asked on the text line, Buck, if you had to turn all of the Horn personnel into college running backs, mm-hmm. who would be the best and who would be the worst?
Well, BK would be the worst.
Oh.
I mean, there's no doubt about him. He's got, like, he got no shake to him whatsoever. They would just pinhole that tall, skinny dude right in the chest every time. You'd probably be a fullback. There's
That'd
no doubt
fullback.
About it. Rod B would be a running back. Zay would be another fullback. Chad would quit.
Oh,
there's
no.
I can make Chad quit. And the other guy I can make quit, too. I mean, the guy that I wouldn't put up would be Trey. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Trey.
There's another guy that I would.
Trey would be obstinate.
I would. Yeah, he would try to be for a while until I told him he'd probably never play, and then he needs to move on.
Elling would be the one telling you that his plays would be better if you let him.
Oh no, but no,
and his way would be better.
No, his way would be better. Coach, if I think if we did this, we'd be more efficient. And I would tell him, dude, you need to shut the hell up, and you know, get on with what we're doing. You need to get with this program. We're not going on with your program. You're going to go with this program. But Turner, one quick story about Jimmy Turner. You know, at Boston College, you know, the Bean Pot, the great
hockey tournament,
the great hockey tournament up in New England, and. You know, Boston College had some great hockey players. The first American hockey player that was a superstar in the NHL. And this dude right here was fight a hockey guy. You know, hockey players kind of, you know, they stood tall on Boston College campus a lot, except for the big guys like Smirlis, the All-Americans go to Buffalo Bills and stuff. And they would, and even the hockey players would mess with the big guys because they fought for a living. You know, that's what they did. They just went around campus punching people in the face. And so they didn't mind getting a fight. Yeah, they didn't mind getting
this
a fight.
Is so with, Boston, man.
They didn't mind getting a fight with a football player, except for this guy right here.
Jim Turner. 5'9", fullback. 5'9",
would be just like him because he's a hockey player too. And his son plays hockey in the state of Texas.
Yeah.
So this guy would say, little stupid, bring it on. Here we go. And he would pound hockey players into the ground. I mean, it'd be like he'd come in with black eyes and I'd say, oh, a hockey player? He goes, yes, I got you. Was it the dorm? Yes. Okay.
He'd come in looking like Kevin Pillar, the Met.
All the time,
got hit in the face with the baseball.
All the time. But he was a competitor that would never give up, never get in. He wouldn't take any guff for stars like Troy Stafford or Steve Strahan. He wouldn't take any of their guff. If they went the wrong way when he was blocking, he would stop, take his helmet off, and tell them all about, you get on this side, not that side. I mean, he was telling great players what to do as a walk-on. He was fun. He was fun to coach. Helped me out an awful lot.
It's hold people accountable. Then went on to the Marine Corps, and then now back into coaching,
Corps, yes.
And now here at Texas State. So good stuff right there. We come back. We will continue these conversations. We got to get into the hot or not topics. I'll also get you your golf tip of the week from our friends at the Playing Through, Bob Ballou and the team. And we'll also get you previewed for the NASCAR race, which is coming. It's a big deal. I know with the rain, it's kind of diminishing the excitement because we haven't been able to get out and be a part of COTA. But that's coming this weekend. We'll get a preview of what's going on there with the NASCAR crew rolling in for the first ever race at Circuit of the Americas on that circuit. Excited about that, too. So a lot going on, and appreciate Jim Turner jumping in with us in our coach's corner. That was fun. Real quick, Buck, a couple of the headlines that we missed, though. That we wanted to get back to. The Texas game with Arkansas is set for 6 o'clock. I also saw where some early game one, week one, Vegas lines are out.
Mm-hmm.
For college football. I'm going to dive into those for you here coming up as well as we get into that. But Jim Turner, he played with Flutie, right?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Now, he crossed with Flutie, so he was there. Flutie was done in 85, is that right, 84?
Yeah, he was just there, getting there, yeah.
Okay.
He was the different, he didn't mess with Flutie. Well, nobody messed with Flutie, really, so.
Nobody messed with Flutie.
No.
That's funny.
Nobody messed with him.
All right, coming back. Isaiah Collier leads us through the hot or not topics of your Wednesday morning, things we've missed halfway through the program.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hot and not on a Wednesday. Isaiah Collier will lead us through those topics. Hot on this, Buck. How about Jeff Bezos, the world's richest man? Apparently, he's buying a 417-foot super yacht. $500 million. And you know what's really cool about Jeff Bezos' new super yacht?
What's that? Everything. Everything about it is cool.
Oh, yeah. It's mm-hmm. a ship. But it's equipped with its own support yacht. So the super yacht has a support yacht.
In case of what?
I don't know.
Why would you have a...
Oh, well, because
in case it breaks down?
Well, it says here that Jeff Bezos is having the yacht with a smaller yacht to hold the helicopter alongside.
I got... yeah, okay.
That's not a joke. I'm reading that straight from Bloomberg.com.
If anybody gets the COVID, he can go in the other yacht?
I guess. I don't... The super yacht and then the support yacht, that's a new term. I've never heard that before. Because we've heard of like...
Your yacht has a yacht?
Like the support animal, right? The emotional support pets.
That's what he's got.
He's got an emotional support yacht that has to carry his helicopter.
I'd like to get there someday.
It's like Batman or something.
I know I'll be dead and gone, but boy, I'm trying. Certainly I'm trying, Jeff.
I mean, that's stupid wealth, but, Amazon. There we go. Jeff Bezos. The support yacht. That's a whole new phrase that I never thought I'd hear.
He's a money clown, isn't he?
He certainly is. Isaiah Collier is no clown. He is our producer. You say Zay would be a fullback in your backfield?
For sure.
Maybe an H-back. Zay's got some height to him. He's about 6'4".
No. He'll lower your shoulder. He'll get his face in there. Can't tell kids that now, but yeah, he'd get his face in there. He's been a son of a coach too. Yeah, that'd be my rock right there.
Sorry, Buck, but I'm probably going to enter the transfer portal with what you probably would make me do.
Ooh, yeah, you'd be the first in the bull in the ring. You'd be the first in that group probably, yes.
All right, fellas, hot or not, y'all remember Kwame Brown?
I do.
I do.
Former number one pick in the 2001 NBA draft. Mm-hmm. Well, Kwame has gone viral this week, and Kwame is fed up. After years and years of people trying to clown him and rag on him for being a bust and whatnot, Kwame took his frustration out on social media and definitely pointed out Gilbert Arenas, Steven Jackson, and Matt Barnes, who all were on the podcast this past week, which Gilbert went on Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes' podcast Up in Smoke, where they kind of bashed him. And y'all remember when I talked to y'all about Jenny Buss and she did the top five Lakers of all time?
Right.
They kind of bashed him in that interview also. But Kwame Brown, he does have a good point. He's trying to basically say that if you enter the NBA, it's a certain level that you've gotten to and we're all in the same class. He's better than a lot more people who didn't make it. People need to leave him alone, like those three former NBA players.
Yeah, man, why are you busting on that guy? That guy made it to the NBA. That guy's still in the NBA. Why are you jamming him? Even if you think he was a bust and he should have been better than he is, he's still in the NBA, right?
No, he's gone.
No, he's gone. No, he's retired now. Remember,
but how many years did he spend in there? I mean,
maybe a decade. Maybe.
Yeah, he played from 2001 to 2013 with, you know, seven different teams.
Now, what the hell? What's?
Well, because he was a big story because Michael Jordan drafted him. Remember, Michael Jordan was the team president of the Washington Wizards at the time, and drafted Kwame Brown with the number one overall pick. So he became
was he a young guy that didn't go to college.
Correct.
Yeah, straight out of the league.
And
high school.
Yeah, he came straight out of high school. And some said he was, you know, the best high school player of all time, and he was a can't-miss player, and he didn't ever develop into the player everybody thought he would be. But yes, I mean, he's become kind of a poster child for that, you know, early bust. And yeah, I think it's fair to call out the haters and say, I'm on Kwame Brown's side on that.
He also said that it was Michael Jordan's fault for his career because Jordan never really paid much attention to him along with that Wizards coaching staff because all in all, they were trying to trade to get Elton Brand. So they were trying to trade, which Elton Brand was a stud at the time. They're trying to get Elton Brand and trade him for Kwame.
I don't know. He doesn't have to go on with his story. His story's all right. He played for 11 years in the NBA. That's story enough. You've been there.
He has gone viral, though, and a lot of people are taking Kwame Brown. Look, if people are going to just dish it out, then they got to be able to take it too. You know what I mean? You go on a podcast and talk. I mean, Kwame Brown had a nice career. I mean, did he ever turn into the, you know, dominant big man he was supposed to be? Well, you know, that happens in a lot of sports. But how many actual players, how many people on the planet play professional basketball for more than a decade?
That dude's one in a million.
Yeah.
So.
And to last that long. I'm going to jump on Kwame Brown's side.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Okay.
Now, out of all those players, Barnes is the most successful, right? By who he played for or just by numbers?
Give me the names. Arenas.
Gilbert Arenas, Steven Jackson, Matt Barnes. Stack Jack won a ring with San Antonio, so it depends on who you talk to.
Yeah, they're all – but Arenas was a great scorer. Didn't he have the
issue? But none of them were great players. Like
Arenas was probably the closest to a star.
Was he?
To a real star player. Didn't he have the issue, Arenas, though, where he had, like, guns in the locker room?
Oh, yeah. They talked about that on the podcast.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just trying to protect himself.
Well, in the locker room? From what?
I don't know. How many guns do you need?
Oh, man.
Get a whole locker full of guns.
And apparently on his social media, Kwame Brown has challenged Stephen A. Smith to a fight. So I'm in on that, too. I'm hot on that.
Stephen A. Smith or Stephen Jackson?
No, Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, I'm down with that
Screaming
one.
Screaming A. Smith.
Okay.
Who wins tonight, Zay? Spurs or Grizzlies? 10-9 matchup. NBA embarrassed itself last night with that 10-9 matchup, Charlotte and Indiana. Hey, this is the playoffs. Come see our product. It was garbage. I mean, that game was never competitive. Indiana beat them and scored 150 points. Will this be good tonight, Spurs-Memphis?
It should be. I'm going with the Spurs. Go Spurs, go.
Go Spurs, go. I kind of like John Morant and the Grizz. John Morant and the Grizz tonight, unfortunately. Sorry, Spurs fans. Of course, the winner will face the loser of the second game tonight, Golden State and the LA Lakers, for the eighth seed in the Western Conference. We'll come back. When we do, we'll get your headlines, reset those top stories, dive back in. Also, our buddy Roddy Rodriguez jumps in, gets us a thought on NASCAR this week, coming to Central Texas, how they're going to pull all this off in all the wet conditions out of COTA. It's B&E with you, live, local, and digital. You know we're always streaming on your smartphone, on the Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.